There we go. Soft Rock Wednesday. Shane, you should have started off with this bad boy, because I want to know what love is as soon as Frank Shires retires on Friday. We're going to be talking...
Show us,
we're
going to
be talking with... Yeah, Frank, show us what love is when you retire, because that we're going to be so lost without you. Shane and I have been talking about this. We said, what are we going to do without Papa Frank Shires? St. Frank Shires, Frank. What are we going to do?
What are you going to do with...
We're going to be miserable.
Yeah, what are you going to do with the random question robot? It's kind of lame if it's just the two of you.
Yeah, yeah. It's really bad.
I'm still working on that, Frank.
You're still working on that? It's not like there aren't
Frank,
people around that would be happy to jump in, I think.
Frank, do we even know? No one has even told us who's going to be the new Frank Shires. No one's even told
me. Oh, there will be no
gonna...
new Frank Shires. There will be a person who does the news. No, I have no idea at this point.
Okay. Well, you know what, Frank? I'll tell you this. At 8:30,
yes,
we're going to check in with Frank, and we're going to do a Remembering Frank Shires, a tribute to Frank Shires, parentheses 2021, Lord, which is a segment we do all... we're going to be doing all week long, so we can all say goodbye to Frank Shires. If you have a question for Frank, text us in the next segment, and then we will ask him at 8:30. But until we get to that point, Frank Shires, you have about 15 minutes until you're back on the hook.
Okay.
And Shane, let's get right into five things that you may have missed.
Five things you may have missed.
If you want to have yourself a good, hard laugh, go to Cairo 7 right now and find the article, Multiple Groups Protest Appreciation Dinner for Seattle Officers in Bellevue, and click on the video that Cairo 7 prepared, because it is hilarious. Yesterday, there was an all-points bulletin about protesters in Bellevue, and they're going to be going down protesting this appreciation dinner for the police, and they're going to show up en masse, and they're going to start raising hell, and then you actually... see the video itself, and it is just a teddy bear's picnic of sadness and diabetes and just wasted lives. Here's a little bit of the coverage from Cairo 7 last night.
You can't really tell anything at this point. The scene has cleared with the activists leaving about an hour ago, but they were standing right here on this side of the street. The Hyatt Hotel, where this event was, it was on the other side of the street. Activists eventually walked over there, and they were following traffic laws, actually, listening to Bellevue PD. They went right up against those gates, which are the only thing that would indicate there was anything here. So let's take you back to where this all started. It was around a few hours.
You can't see this, but there's a group of people. It looks like there's about two dozen people, and they're all walking around with their very, very silly umbrellas, and they're walking down the street. It's this normal, average, everyday evening in Bellevue, and these losers out there are attempting to protest against what? What are you showing me? Now, I'm all for freedom of speech. I'm all for people expressing their malcontent or their discontent with the state or whatever it is. But when I see action like this, when I see civil action like this, I can only think to myself, there's so much more that you could be doing. There's so much more that you could be doing with your time rather than going down to Bellevue and having a teddy bear's picnic where you guys go around and you say, hey, everybody, we don't like these police, and we don't like the government either, because we don't really like any of this stuff. And my stepdad's really getting me upset right now because he keeps calling me and he keeps telling me to bring back my mom's Prius. And I'll tell you something, that I dressed up in black and I'm wearing a black mask and I have a black umbrella because I'm a hero and we're sticking it to the man. Basically what I saw. I saw nothing but a bunch of people in just the midst of delayed adolescence showing nothing, proving nothing, making the case for nothing. I always try to encourage people as much as I can to have discussions and to have debates and to understand that the way that we change hearts and minds is through communication. It's through having really difficult conversations about really contentious issues and getting experts and getting data and having the skill set to be able to convince somebody. What I see with this group of young people is basically playing pretend. I see them out there wasting their lives and wasting their time in the same way that I might say this to a young guy who's playing 6+ hours of video games a day, to a young woman who's wasting her life on social media. There are things that we can do with our lives that just are inherently wastes of time. I'm only 33 years old, but I know what it's like to waste your life. If I haven't mentioned this 1,000 times already, I was a drug addict for many, many, many years. And I know what it's like to waste days and hours of your life in this fruitless activity, whatever it is, whether it's this silly protest or whether it's video games or social media. And the way that you move your life forward, the way that you get stuff done in your life, is to eliminate these kinds of distractions. I want these kids to be able to go out there and say, this is the way that I feel about the state of government, and this is what I think should be done, and I think that what we really need in the United States is we need an anarchist revolution, and we need the communist state to come down, and we need to all read Karl Marx. If they want to do that, fine. I don't really care, but there's a time and a place for that, and 8 o'clock at night walking through Bellevue isn't going to convince anybody. And speaking of not going to convince anybody, Liz Cheney was ousted from leadership within the GOP earlier today. It was a very big to-do. Everybody had very, very strong opinions about it. Liz Cheney is about as pro-Trump as a conservative Republican can get. According to the Heritage Foundation, she voted for President Donald Trump or with President Donald Trump, something like 92.9% of the time. It's an amazing, amazing figure. But because she decided to come out against him in the most recent impeachment, now what they're effectively doing, as we're going to hear from CBS, is this kind of sacrificial killing. They're doing this thing where they're trying to demonstrate to the base. They're trying to show everybody in the Trump base that they really do care. And by doing so, we are going to oust Liz Cheney from GOP leadership for just expressing her opinion as guaranteed to her by the Constitution of the United States as a representative. We need to get rid of her regardless. Here is Liz Cheney earlier today.
Today, we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. I am a conservative Republican, and the most conservative of conservative principles is reverence for the rule of law. The Electoral College has voted. More than 60 state and federal courts, including multiple judges the former president appointed, have rejected his claims. The Trump Department of Justice investigated the former president's claims of widespread fraud and found no evidence to support them.
Excuse me, this is actually her speech that she gave yesterday. Now, why is this a big deal? Because I will tell you right now that I am against Liz Cheney being voted out of leadership. Now, it's not because I'm a fan of Liz Cheney. It's not because I think that Liz Cheney isn't some kind of a hallmark of right-wing conservatism and how dare the GOP turn against her. I'm against it because I think it shows the American people that the GOP is actually the party of Trump now. And if you cross Donald Trump, if you cross Daddy, there will be consequences. This is an issue because this is how you tiptoe into fascism. Now, you can say, oh, well, you know, she deserved it and she should have never come out against Donald Trump in the first place. You can hold that opinion. But when you have party retaliation like this against a member of leadership for having an opinion, again, go to the Heritage Foundation and read the stats. She voted with President Trump or in league with President Trump 92.9% of the time. That puts her in the top 5% bracket of all members of the GOP, meaning that she was about as Trump as you could get. And because she made a decision on her conscience or for political reasons, for political maneuvering or whatever it is, because she decided to vote to impeach Donald Trump, knowing that it wouldn't go through, knowing that it wouldn't happen, now she has to be excised from the party. And this concerns me for so many reasons. On top of that, the fact that the vote was held by a voice vote, it's not recorded. So we don't actually get to know who decided to pledge their allegiance to Daddy. This is scary, scary, scary stuff. And keep in mind, if I have to say this a million times, I'll say it a million times. I am not a fan of Liz Cheney. I am not a fan of the swamp creature that is Liz Cheney. But what I will say is this, is that Liz Cheney is kind of a canary in the coal mine when it comes to the GOP. And if you're happy about this, recognize that the road to authoritarianism and fascism is littered with instances like this, where you say, okay, well, you have to be beholden to the party and you have to be beholden to the party leader over your constituents and over the population. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like fascism. And I'm not calling Donald Trump a fascist, and I'm not saying that the GOP is currently fascist, but what I'm telling you right now is that they are tiptoeing through the field of fascism by doing something like this. It means nothing. It is purely symbolic. And here is here's CBS This Morning agreeing with me just after the vote was taken.
Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett joins us now. Major, good morning. Good morning. How significant is this vote?
Let me give you a two-part answer. For everyday Americans, it is not significant, Anthony. I mean, we're talking about the number three leader in the House Republicans, which is the minority party in the House. Now, this is no aspersions against the Republicans, but that's like the third-string quarterback on the JV high school football team. You just don't have any power in the House of Representatives, and we're talking about the number three leader. So for Americans who are trying to figure out whether they should buy a gallon of gas or not, or worried about inflation, this does not affect their life. But symbolically, yeah, it is massively important. Why? Because Liz Cheney, in that speech and her overall remarks in the last 3 weeks, is laying down a marker. And the marker is this. Either you believe in the Constitution, federalism, the way we conduct our elections, and that this election is actually over, or you don't. And if you don't believe that, you're going to vote me out of office. In a kind of a medieval ritual, like she's being stoned or burned at the stake, and she wants to be.
I completely agree with this assessment. I totally agree with this assessment. For as much as a right-wing hack as I am, for as much as a Trump apologist as I have been in the past, I completely agree with this assessment. And if you're in line with this, if you think that this is great and this is the future of the GOP, you will reap what you sow. When you have members in your own party that aren't allowed to question the party, what are you telling me? What are you actually telling me at that point in time? Because I'll tell you now that my allegiance is not to President Donald Trump. It's not to the GOP. It's not to right-wing ideas. It's to you as my fellow citizen. And when I view stuff like this, and when I see what the GOP is doing, they are holding the party and one man over you. And I refuse to accept it. And as a matter of fact, I applaud Liz Cheney for as much as I disagree with her and as much as I don't like her and I think her dad is an evil, awful, terrible human being. I applaud her for having the courage of her convictions to be able to stand up and say, hey, you know what? This is how I feel about the 2020 election. We could have a debate all day, by the way, about the 2020 election. I don't even want to talk about that right now. I just want to talk about what kind of language we are going to allow. And do you want to be part of a party that excises somebody in a very symbolic way that has no impact on policy or the future of the party outside of appeasing Daddy? Roll that around in your brain if you want to, and then get back to me. And speaking of roll that around in your brain, Jay Inslee has decided to, he was expected to sign the bill banning open carry at protests at the state capitol. So this has been ongoing for some time. I've talked to Hannah Scott about this previously. SB 5035 makes it illegal to carry guns and weapons such as knives, brass knuckles, and bats, among others, within 250 feet of a permitted protest anywhere in the state, while also blocking them on a much of the state capitol ground. Specifically, it makes it illegal to open carry a firearm, so on and so forth. We get the general idea. You can face up to 364 days in jail and a $5,000 fine. So in the same way that I want those young kids going on their teddy bears picnic down Bellevue to have their opportunity to protest, I want people in the free state of Washington, if they so choose, to be able to open carry at a protest. Now, you may not like this. You may hate this. I personally hate the idea of having things like a free speech zone or a permitted protesting area or whatever it is now that we do in the United States. We have the right to freedom of expression. We have the right to peaceful protest. If I bring a firearm to a peaceful protest, it is still peaceful. There is a point at which it does not become peaceful, though, right? There is a point that we've seen in the past where these things kind of get out of control. But I think the point is that this is a further kind of lockdown on people's freedom of expression. And I'll tell you this as well. If you showed up to a protest and there were a bunch of people walking around open carrying, would you want to be there? I mean, because if you don't, you don't actually have to be there. This is the beauty of kind of freedom of association and freedom of expression. If you don't like it, you don't have to be there. So why then would you want to take away the rights of other individuals who choose to gather in a group with their firearms, if they so choose? Why would you be against that? You know, everybody now is so paranoid of each other, and we view each other as being just, you know, the worst human beings who have the worst of intentions. What if there's just a group of guys and gals out there who thought to themselves, I appreciate the Second Amendment, and what I'm going to do right now is exercise my Second Amendment rights. And part of my Second Amendment rights, in the same way that it's those losers over in Bellevue's right to walk down a main street with umbrellas dressed in all black, in the same way that they have their right, why not leave these people alone? You know, Jay Inslee, for as much as he might like to say that he's on the side of freedom and liberty and all this other kind of stuff, and, you know, he's a person for all Washingtonians, what has he done to actually show that? What has he done to actually demonstrate that? I think he's just full of rhetoric and nonsense. Because if he really cared about all Washingtonians, you would imagine that he would say something like, hey, listen, you guys, I was listening to Cairo Nights last night, and Jack Stein had the best idea on this entire issue, which is that if you want to open carry at a protest, you should be able to do that. If you want to have a protest that is quote-unquote unpermitted, you should be able to do that, because I am not in favor of top-down state control, because I am Jay Inslee, and I am a man for the people. I am Jay Inslee, and I care so much about your rights, and because I'm a hero, I am now turning around and I am saying I will not sign, what is it, SB 5035. I'm not going to do it. One, because I couldn't even remember what it is. But two, because it's a violation of your constitutional rights. And because I'm Jay Inslee and I've realized that my entire career has been a complete and total farce, I am now going to make it up to you by not stripping you of simultaneously your First and Second Amendment rights by telling you that you can't open carry at a protest. Because now I'm new Jay Inslee. I'm Jay Inslee 2.0. And we're going to take it all the way to Washington. Thank you. He's not going to do that, of course. He's going to be a total fascist about the whole thing. And, of course, SB 5035 will be law, and that's just what we're going to be dealing with. And speaking of what we're going to be dealing with, Frank Shires will be leaving us on Friday. Stick around for the next segment. We're going to be talking to Frank Shires in this newest segment, Remembering Frank Shires, a salute to Frank Shires, parentheses 2021. We'll be right back after this. We're going to miss you so much. Welcome to the newest segment on Cairo Nights, where we salute Frank Shires, an American tribute to Frank Shires, comma, American hero, parentheses, 2021. Frank, who is this? 425 says, what's your top three favorite comic strips from a regular Sunday comics newspaper page? Yes, I still read a daily paper. That's from Doug in Lake Stevens.
Okay. My all-time favorite comic strip would probably be Calvin and Hobbes. I think it was brilliant. Ooh, I mean, it's just I just don't think there's one that in modern times. I'm a big fan of Gary Larson's work, although those weren't a comic strip. Those were what are called gag panels. But I thought that was fantastic. What was the other one I was thinking? Well, Peanuts, which had a very strong influence on me and my art over a long period of time. How's that? Those are three big ones. Yes.
It's a good list, Frank. I would say your art is very, from what I have seen of it, Frank Shires, you do kind of the Gary Larson thing where you try to pack in a narrative as much as you can into that one. I know you do other kinds of comics, but from what I've seen, is you pack in that narrative in one frame, and I think that that is, it takes so much skill to be able to do that, that it is amazing. So Frank Shires, also 425 says that they're going to miss you, and thanks so much for all the great radio entertainment.
Wow.
Thanks, Frank, and wish you well in your future endeavors. A question I have for you, Frank Shires, since we're swapping war stories and things like that. What was your worst show ever, if you can think of one? Because I have many, many, many worst shows ever, but for you, what was the worst show ever? Tricky question.
Yeah, I am one of those people, Jack, that when things don't go well, unless it is, you know, devastating, I forget it. I can tell you one of the strangest endings in shows that I ever had was I was working at a station at 95.7 FM, which they called K-Lite at that time. And I walked in to do the night show there, and which started at 7. And my boss said, "We have been purchased by another company. This is your last shift on the air. We're all being fired as of tomorrow. Do you want to go on in and do the show?" And I said, "Sure." And so I went in and did the final show on that radio station, K-Lite, from 7 until midnight. I know for a fact that the people that had purchased us across the street, the management, were sitting listening to the show because I had other people that knew them and knew what they were doing. They were all worried or concerned that I might say something inappropriate. I didn't. I just did the show that I always did and then acknowledged that it was the last version of it. At the very end of the show. So I would say that probably would qualify as the worst experience that I've ever had, or certainly the least pleasant. And I have done a show where I knew I was going to be fired also. So there's that. That's always a joyous experience.
Frank, you actually get to experience, I think, what few people actually know about in the radio business, which is that very few people actually get to know that their last show is their last show. It happens rarely. Most of the time,
Most people don't retire. They don't get to.
Yeah. They don't get to retire.
They get early retirement. It's a surprise.
Yeah. Can you think of the worst guest ever or the best guest ever that you ever got to talk to?
You know what? I'm going to go with worst. I mean, I've done this so long. Right. You're going to inevitably have somebody who gives you yes and no answers or very short answers that mean nothing.
Yeah.
It just is going to happen. And it's happened more than once to me. So but best, I've had some, and I still have these tucked away in News Boss, the program we use. I got to interview Michael Weatherly from NCIS, you know, Tony DiNozzo.
Yeah.
I got to interview George Romero, the creator of Night of the Living Dead, the man that first put zombies on film. And by the way, there's a listener down in 253 who claims that I called them zombies, and George Romero corrected me. That is incorrect. I went back and listened to the beginning of the interview, and it was very clearly zombies all the way through. Although what George did do is he corrected me because Romero's zombies all move very slowly. Right. But the zombies that followed him, many of them move quickly, especially those in Zombieland. And he corrected me he was very firm that, you know, zombies move slowly. I got to interview Stan Lee before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Which was fantastic. Right. I got to interview Shatner. Bill Shatner, Captain Kirk.
Wow.
Although that was a really wretched interview because I was late because of technical issues, and he gave me 5 minutes, and he said nothing about you. But, those kinds of things I just treasured. I've just had a great time doing that. How's that?
My worst interview ever, Frank Shires, was this guy who my PD told me, oh, you have to have this guy on.
Uh-oh.
He's so funny.
Uh-oh.
He's a hilarious comedian.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing a weed festival this weekend. You have to have him on. So I say, okay.
Is this how you met Billy Sunshine?
No. So this guy, when I'm talking to him before the show, he's actually very funny and very engaging.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, this is going to be a great hour. But the second that the microphones came on, all of a sudden he turned into this stoner affectation that was an act. And I didn't know that it was an act. So I thought that he was literally going insane in front of me. He was pretending to be somebody in the same way that maybe George Carlin pretended to be like an old hippie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. It wasn't funny. And I tried to shake him out of it on air. I was like, please drop. Just speak to me like a normal human being. That is the worst guest that I ever had.
Oh, man.
So, Shane, do you have any questions for the main man, Frank Shires?
Yeah. So, Frank, you started your radio career in the 70s, correct?
Yes.
What is the biggest change that you've seen in radio, either technological or just entire format? What's the biggest change you've seen?
That is really easy to answer, Shane. And I can put it in perspective here. When I came to this building, here in 1820 East Lake Avenue East, 18 years ago, and that would be June 1st. I mean, the reason I'm retiring on June 1 officially, even though I'm taking a couple of weeks off before that, is because that's the end of my 18th year. So I thought, okay, that's an interesting way to end. And when I walked in the door here, this radio station, 97.3 FM, was an oldies station, KBSG. And it was down the hall in the corner. This radio station was staffed 24/7, overnight, even on the weekends, with disc jockeys, doing shows 24/7. And that was the norm in the market still. In Seattle, at that time, 18 years ago, you could still pretty much go get a job as a weekender or work overnight or do something like that. All of that went out the window in the ensuing, 15 years, 10 years. And so today, at this radio station, for example, which when I walked in the door, again, was staffed by talk hosts and producers, and then we had a couple of newswheels, they were here 24/7, right, including weekends. Now, part of it is satellite. Part of it is broad. We run coast to coast overnight, which is a terrific show. I love coast to coast, but it's does not originate here.
Yeah, I would say that as well, Frank Shires, at the station that I used to work for, they actually cut all their 7 to 10 programming because they just didn't see the point anymore, which was kind of sad to see those people lose their jobs. But to end on a happy note, Frank Shires, I'm glad that you get to go out on your 18th Cairo birthday. That's a pretty cool number.
It is, actually. I'm a grown-up.
I'm finally an adult, Frank Shires. So we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we'll do some random question robot, and we'll have a lot of fun with it. So stick around. We'll be right back after this. All right. Shane, finally with some soft rock.
Absolutely.
Finally, we get some. I've heard nothing but non-soft rock for the last, 3 weeks, and finally we get some soft rock on Soft Rock Wednesday. I blame Shane for this.
Oh, you
Not you, Frank,
because
you're retiring. Frank, someone says, where can I find your comic work? And is this going to be a two-man show, or will your position be filled? We don't know. It's probably just going to be Shane and I until they force somebody to come on nights with us.
Yeah. You're going to get a news person. We just don't know, what role that person will play. And the answer to seeing my cartoons, if you don't get them in your local paper, you can see them on you just Google Images and just type in my last name, Shires Cartoons, and you'll see a bunch of them.
Frank, I actually asked management. I said, please give me someone I can be chummy with. Please just give
Did
me someone
really?
That I can
good. Good for
chum
you,
it up.
Jack.
Yeah, I wanted someone to be chummy with. Because if they get, Frank, this is what I don't want. I don't want a top and the bottom of the hour person. I don't want like a stagnant I want someone to actually be involved with the show so I can be like, hey, so on and so forth. Did you hear that they're feeling plastic bags with gasoline and have that person laugh at my joke? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Like, yes,
I need something because Shane can only do so much. He's got to push buttons and he's got to handle all my text messages and me yelling at him behind the scenes. He can only do so much. We need someone. We need something else to balance out the equation. Otherwise, Shane, back me up on this. We need like a third piece of the equation. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's the rule of threes. You got to have three people to make it work. And I mean, with Frank leaving, I don't have any shoulders to cry on now. So who's ever come in, I hope they're ready for some waterworks.
On that note, speaking of waterworks, we're going to play a little random question robot. This is the championship week. We have not been keeping score, which means that Frank Shires is at 4 points, I am at 2 points, and Shane is at zero. So let us get...
Oh, Shane.
Of course.
Okay.
All right, I'll give Shane a point.
Woo!
Good, how about that? All right.
That's better.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, sounds good. All right, Jack. If you were a ghost, who would you haunt?
Frank, 100%. I'd be hanging out around Frank's house. Nice. I'd be floating around Frank's house. Nice. I'd be, floating around. I'd be scaring Frank's daughter, scaring Frank's wife,
Great.
Scaring Frank's dog. No, if I could actually haunt somebody, honestly, this might sound pretty devious and pretty terrible. I would haunt Donald Trump just to know. I would fly around him and I would be a spooky, spooky, spooky ghost around Donald Trump because you know that he would talk about me. You know that he would talk about the ghost in his life. I think it'd be amazing.
Wow.
Great answer. Frank, how about you?
I was thinking that I would like to haunt Joe Biden. I just think it would be really fun and interesting to haunt.
How can you haunt that which is already dead?
Well, you can haunt the White House, right? You can. Now, I didn't say that. I think it would be the image of, like just kind of floating through so that he can see me, but nobody else can during a cabinet meeting or a television appearance. I'm liking it a lot. I think it would be great fun.
I mean, Frankie's been dead for a long time. So he can't haunt.
Bad.
Frank, by the way, before I get fired for that comment, 206 says, I joined the program late. Frank Shires was my English teacher at South Kitsap High School, class of 85. Might have been a literature class. Wow, Frank Shires.
Yeah, I did that.
What is that? 206, can you tell me about Frank Shires' 4 foot afro back in the 80s? Because it must have been like 6 feet at that point.
It was as tall as me.
Shane, what about your answer? Who would you haunt?
Well, I wouldn't haunt a single person. I would want to haunt the studio at Cairo or some radio station.
Ooh.
Because here's my idea. If I was a ghost and I could haunt a station, I know how to change stuff in the station.
Oh, yeah.
So I would just mess with radio stations all the time. Like, I would just put in Tom Jones's What's New Pussycat in random parts of the day so people would just lose their mind. I would just haunt the station and put them in random
I like
spots.
It.
All right, we got time for one more quick one.
Okay.
Frank, where is the last place you would ever go?
Oh. Boy, there's a lot of places in the Mideast and in Asia that I would not set foot, and particularly places that end in Stan have very little.
Yes,
even Afghanistan. I just Uzbekistan. Nah, I don't think so.
Fair enough.
How about you, Jack?
The last place I would ever go, honestly, on God's green earth is Canada. I don't want to go to Canada. I have no business in Canada. I'll go anywhere else. No, thank you, Canada. I don't. Canadians, sure. If you're a Canadian, we can hang out, but I don't want to go to your country. I refuse to be there. Shane, what about you? Last place on earth you would go?
The state of Florida. I've been there enough times. I ain't going. If I could never go back to Florida, I will be thankful. I will stay here in the Pacific Northwest where it's nice and cold.
Excellent answer. Todd in Tacoma wants to know, hey, Frank, being a radio personality, what kind of radio do you listen to when you're at home or in the car? We're going to have to find out, Frank Shires, and what's on your mind, unless you want to answer right now.
Sure. I'll let him wait.
All right, let's have him wait. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk with Stacey Jill Rost, and we actually got an email from a fan at 973nights@gmail.com. We're going to read it and talk about it. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back.